Singing lessons coming in handy for the podcast.
Yep. Oh, 5 seconds. Hey, what's happening, you guys, and welcome to the Proclivity Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Cochran, and we're here with the incredible co-host, Emily Rodella. Emily, how was it this morning getting ready?
It was great. Well, first of all, I am proud of myself. I got my workout in this morning.
Yeah, you
full
did.
Full 40 minutes.
Mm.
And then I woke up to my toddler. He actually peeked his head through the doggy door to see me at my last 5 minutes, which was great. But then he fought the underwear. We're potty training. Mm. He's fighting outfit changes in the morning.
Yeah.
It's a process.
You know what? I fight myself when it comes to putting on underwear. Oh my gosh, do I really need underwear? I don't know. And you never know, you guys. Do I have underwear on right now, or do I not have underwear on? I don't know. Me and Dansby are in the same space.
Oh, man.
You guys, welcome to the Proclivity Podcast. We're here to be able to deliver you simple and effective techniques that you can apply to your life. We want to help you create a healthier and happier life. We do that by combining the psychological and physiological side of health. A lot of programs just focus on the physical side. And then there's others that do just the psychological side. Well, guess what? We're a two-headed monster. Emily does the physical side in the nutrition. I do the psychological side. And when we combine those two, the results are astounding. Don't believe us? Go to our website. You'll find out. And today what we're going to talk about specifically is putting on kids' underwear. No, I'm just kidding. What we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about what happens when you have a kid. Okay? Emily, it has been in the health and fitness field for a really, really long time. And then she went and had a kid. And she's still hella fit. Jacked everything, right? How is she able to do it? We're going to talk to all the parents out today. We're going to talk to you about what happens when you have your kid, right? What are the things that you got to prepare yourself for, or maybe you're going through right now? We're going to talk to you about how to be able to stay on track, and then we're going to tell you our top three tips. If you're a new parent or you're a parent struggling to be able to stay healthy, we're going to give you our top three tips. This is going to knock you on your butt, your parental butt. And maybe you're not a parent like me. And I'll tell you what, I will give you my 2 cents of how I've been preparing to be able to have a kid. There's a reason that our business is designed the way it is because we want to be able to have freedom to be able to be with our kids. Mm-hmm. And we designed that specifically for it. Yet, this isn't about us, even though we tend to make it about us. This is about you, so let's dive in. First and foremost, Coach Emily, when you first had Dansby, what are the things that you noticed started to be affected?
Mm, yes. So I knew this a little bit before having him, yet it became very clear that my main stress release was exercise. So that was a big one. I remember specifically a few days after having him, I told my husband, we need to get that sauna that we've been thinking about buying. I need to sweat somehow. I need something that's going to mimic exercise that's not exercise, because I had a tough delivery physically, and I knew it was going to be a long time before I could get an actual workout in. So mentally, I was like, oof, there's a shift. I need to recalibrate.
And let's pause for a second. Okay, folks. Listen, everyone's birth story is unique and is different. You had a tough birth. How long were you in labor?
32 hours.
Okay. Cool. You can continue now.
And then the obvious one for most people, right? We have a lack of sleep, right? So that was a tough one. I expected that though, right? So honestly, that was lower on my list of actual like, oh, this is so hard, because I expected that. In my head, I was like, I'm going to have 6 months of no sleep. So I mentally prepared for that. So that honestly was a little bit easier, at least the first 2 months. And then it did catch up to me month 3, 4, and 5. And I was like, am I ever going to sleep again? Mm. Yes, parents, you will if you're in that stage. So that was a tough part. But the biggest struggle in my mind was the lack of control in time that you had before, right? Pre-child to now child, it's so different in terms of your daily structure and what you have control over and how you go about your day.
I mean, I can only imagine, right? And parents go, okay, yeah, there's broken sleep. Why? Because you're dealing with a child that's needing to eat because it's trying to grow. And when it comes to the schedule, I mean, listen, folks, I don't know how like detailed you were with your schedule, Emily, before Dansby. Mm-hmm. Were you super detailed or like moderately detailed or like meh?
Moderately detailed.
Okay. I could see it being very difficult for people who are very regimented in terms of having a child. You're like, it has to be this, it has to be this, it has to be this, it has to be this. There needs to be some flexibility here, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a big thing. You guys have heard us talk about this before. I have a saying, ruthlessly eliminate hurry and busyness from your life. Ruthless. Like you're on a freaking battlefield and you just need to cut heads off. You got to be able to say no. You got to be able to protect your space. I mean, this is important stuff before you have a kid. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you have a kid and you're still trying to say yes to people and so on and so forth. It forces the no. Mm-hmm. It forces the no. Yet, what if you could practice it beforehand? What if you could start preparing yourself beforehand? Mm-hmm. And that's some of what we're talking about here today. And so we've talked about sleep. We've talked about the time and scheduling. That shifted. Did anything else shift?
A general shift in priorities in more ways than you think. Obviously, when you have a baby, that becomes your priority, right? You're taking care of a human being. But in general, with all the things, work, relationships with not only yourself, your partner, but also family and friends, and perhaps coworkers. Free time is just not there. You don't have free time, right? Unless you get to a point where you can schedule that in. And so at first it feels like a lack of freedom. And then, especially in the early weeks or early months postpartum. And so that was something that I was gentle with myself on. And I think that is really important to give yourself, like you said, that flexibility and the space to say, hey, I'm going to be flexible mentally, physically, with all the things. Mm-hmm. And so that, again, it's coming back to the similar theme. Yet, feeling like you have a lack of freedom and mentally helping yourself through that or seeking help for that.
And what did you do?
Yeah, so I've mentioned this in a previous podcast. A big part for me was to chat with other moms who've been through it. And they helped be like, oh, yeah, I felt the same way, and this is what helped me. Or, oh, yeah, that was hard. You're going through something hard. Like, I get that. Know that it's a process. This too shall pass. And so that really helped me be like, okay, this is temporary. I know I'll get back to the things I want to do soon. I don't know if that's 2 weeks from now or 2 years from now, but I know that this is a process, and the love for my child brought me through that of like, hey, this is the coolest thing ever, and it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, I have nieces and nephews, and I have friends, and you know, I am certainly looking forward to the opportunity to be able to look my child in his or her eyes and be able to have that moment that you talk about. Little Dansby popping his head out of the doggy door and just going like, oh, yes. 32 hours, you said, of labor?
Yes.
32 hours, no problem. I'll do it again.
Totally.
You would. You would. Okay. So we know that these things are going to shift, guys. Being able to prepare your mind that, hey, first and foremost, your sleep is going to shift. And we're going to talk about, hey, how can we help with that sleep? But knowing that, hey, your sleep is going to shift, your time in terms of work, exercise, and social settings are going to shift. And so you can start thinking about that before it even happens. How can you start structuring your day to start preparing for that child? A lot of people, from what I have known and friends that I've had, go like, oh, I'm going to squeeze every last bit. I'm going to get the fittest I can. I'm going to be the most social I can. I'm going to get all the things because I know when I get a kid, it's just everything's going to change. Whoa, you're really lining yourself up mentally in terms of going like, oh, my entire life is going to change. And it is. You're about to have a child. Yet, are we really preparing ourselves when we're climbing that high up into the mountaintop for the stumble that might come? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk to you guys about how to stay on track. So maybe you have a kid right now. Maybe you're about to have a child. Maybe you're in your third child and you're just like, there, I got to do something different. Okay. I've gotten different reps. I got to do something different. We're going to talk to you about what to do here from our experience and from people that we've coached. So, Coach Emily, how do we stay on track? What's the first thing that we should do?
The first thing is on the mental side, right? Understand what your expectations are and know if they're realistic. So meaning in general, when you have a kid, you got to lower the barrier or lower your expectations, right? So we know we're not going to get the same amount of work done, whether it be in the house, literal work, again, social settings, workouts, getting mm-hmm. food prep done, grocery shopping, all those things, they're going to take longer to do than before. So lower the barrier, be gentle on yourself, and know, hey, if I get one thing done today, awesome. So that'd be number one.
Totally. Right. We work with a lot of different parents who are still trying to do the 75 hard program that they did before they had a kid. Again, going back to, man, I had to get as fit as I possibly could, you know, because I knew everything was going to change. Man, you're really setting yourself up for a big fall mm-hmm. because then we can get into that black and white thought process.
Right.
Well, if I'm not doing, you know, 225 clean and jerk or back squatting, you know, the certain repetition at the certain percentages, then what's the point? Mm-hmm. Instead exactly. of start getting used to of like, hey, before my kid comes, you know, maybe a month or two before, I'm going to start moving into how can I do workouts in my living room?
Right.
How can I get, what are different body weight movements that I know that I'm going to be able to do? Or maybe you don't know what you're going to be able to do as a female. I'm mm-hmm. speaking more specifically to the men. What are the small things that you can do daily to go, cool, I got that movement in, right?
Right, right. So yeah, getting that same goes with nutrition and everything else, right? What are some easy go-to backup meals that I can practice that I know don't take a lot of time, yet I enjoy, and start experimenting with those too. So when you do have the baby, it's one less thing to think about.
I love that thought process. So we know to lower the barrier, and to be able to lower the barrier, here's a big one. When we start lowering the barrier, life is going to change. We know that we're gonna change our workouts, change the way we eat, change the way we sleep. Communication is key, is it not?
Oh, yes.
How does that help?
Yeah, so not only with yourself, right? Again, how are we talking to ourselves in terms of expectations, being patient with ourselves, loving ourselves, but also with our partner, right? Or with any support around you. So whether that be like, hey, I thought I was going to be able to go to work 6 weeks postpartum, but it's not what I thought it was. I would like more time. So being able to communicate with your coworkers or your boss, but also more importantly, again, with your partner and being able to, one, ask for help, accept the help. That was big for me, right? Because I was very immobile for a few weeks. So I had everyone doing everything for me, even help sitting up from the couch, right? And I know a lot of the C-section mothers out there understand that. Not that I had that, but I had the physical hardship of that part. And so being able to ask and accept for help, being vulnerable, being like, hey, can you please do this? Remind yourself, people want to help you. Helps them feel important, helps them feel useful, especially your husband or your significant other. So number one. And two, and we're going to talk about this, having time for yourself during the day. You need some time. That was something I didn't quite recognize right up front. Like, hey, I need just Emily time. Husband or whoever, mom, who's ever there. Can you take him for 5, 10, 15 minutes? Can I go shower? Like, that was one of my favorite things. I could just go shower and take my time, not have to worry about it. And that could be a walk for someone. That could be going to the grocery store. I remember my husband being like, oh, I'm going to go to the grocery store. And I was like, no, please let me go. And so it's little things like that of just saying, hey, can I do that, please? Or can you help me with that, please?
And in that same aspect of communication, guys, not only being able to communicate very clearly, you are going to be in a vulnerable spot, male or female. Okay. As men, we might have this feeling that, oh, I didn't give birth, and so I have to be strong, right? Yet you're going through changes as well. Mm-hmm. And vulnerability is the greatest connective emotion. To be able to say, honey, I'm scared. Honey, I feel weak today. We can connect through vulnerability. And so being able to be very open and honest with your husband and your wife is key. I'm also going to give you this. Write it down. Pull out a journal and write daily. You're going to have time by yourself. Baby's just sleeping, just on you. Can you sit down and go, what am I feeling? Write it down, and here's the process. Listen to me, guys. Write it down, then truly read it out. If the baby's sleeping, maybe you're going to have to whisper it to yourself. Okay? Because writing it down and reading it out is going to create two different emotions. I promise you. How many times have we done it, Emily?
A lot.
A bazillion times. And people are like, oh, it wasn't too bad writing it down. Then we have them read it out. They're just like, tears flowing. Mm-hmm. Then after you've read it that time, what I want you to do is I want you to go back and read it again at 70%. Slow, as if you're reading it to your child. Nice and slow and sweet. Why, Joel? Because what we're doing is we're now taking that scary story or that big emotion and we're comforting it. We're making it go, it's okay, by slowing it down. Give that a shot. Just try. Even if you are not going through having a child, it is a technique we use, and it's simple, and it works. So think about that.
Yeah.
So communication is key. Anything else on that?
No, and this works, again, when you're pregnant, postpartum, the hormones are going bonkers, literally, in such huge fluctuations. So again, be gentle with yourself, and writing that stuff out can help you detach a little bit and accept, like, oh, that was a hard feeling, but now I'm through that. So it helps a lot.
Perfect. So we got to make sure that we're communicating. This is a difficult thing, right? We talked about lowering the barrier. How about sleep? This is like the number one that's like put up on the billboard of, you're about to have a kid. Ugh, goodbye, sleep. How can we help to regulate our sleep and our sleep patterns?
Yeah. So focusing on what is in your control, what you can do versus honing on, oh, I can't get good sleep because my baby's waking. I have to feed him in the middle of the night, this, that, the other. Yeah, that's true, right? So what can we do? So as best as we can, still have somewhat of a bed routine, keeping lights low in the evening. This is not only going to help you, but also your baby, right? We're training our baby's circadian rhythm too. And so having that bedtime routine, and then also being able to allow yourself to have at least 8 hours in bed, even if that's obviously not all sleep. But at least we have that of planned into our schedule, our day or night, to be resting for at least 8 hours. If you can do more, especially as a mom or anyone who's caretaking or feeding the baby in the middle of the night, plan for perhaps 9 hours if you can. So you can catch up on a little bit more sleep when you do fall back asleep in the middle of the night. So having more time, but at least 8 hours in bed would be the first point. Second point, that bedtime routine. And then for me, I battled this in my head for a long time. I was like, well, when do I start working out? Because for what I can see, the only time I can work out is before the baby wakes up in the morning. But that felt so, so hard for me. Like, I felt intuitively in my body, I was like, this isn't right. Like, it feels heavy, lethargic, because I still wasn't getting sleep, say 4 or 5 months postpartum. And I was gentle with myself. I said, hey, I'm going to use this time to sleep in until he wakes up. And this is a personal choice, right? You can choose to wake up 15, 20 minutes before your baby and have your own time, or choose that time to sleep depending on where you're at. But for me, it was like, no, I'm going to prioritize sleep. I will find time later in my day to get my 15 minutes of movement. And so to me, I knew if I were to try and force that workout, it would cause more stress on my body. And I, especially for the mothers, right, who actually carried the baby physically, you need that time to heal your pelvic floor, your core, all of that stuff. And then again, add on the lack of sleep, our stress hormones, we need that time to repair and rest for quite a while. So again, prioritizing sleep and rest when you can.
And if you haven't listened to our sleep podcast or our morning routine, another thing to double down on before you have a kid, or you have a kid right now, it doesn't change. Because you have a kid, you still have the same effects. Blue light still has the same effects. Racing mind still has the same effect. We want to be able to utilize those different biohacks that we talk about when it comes to light exposure, when it comes to down regulating. Use the tools that are out there. Get yourself some binaural beats when the baby goes down to be able to go, okay. Mm-hmm. Let me downregulate. Let me get on a grounded mat, right? Let me shut off my Wi-Fi and get EMFs out. You guys might be thinking like, what? This is all crazy stuff. No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
The most simple one for me was the light exposure. I've talked about it before with the Casper, the light alarm.
You love that so much.
I do.
We got to reach out to Casper. They're going to be our sponsor here. Like, Casper, if you're listening, anybody who knows Casper, okay, Emily talks about it every single day. It's her favorite thing.
For good reason. I would carry that into, eventually when our child got into his own room, I would carry it in there, or even when I was breastfeeding when he was in our room, to have a tiny bit of light that's not going to affect me too much. And I know a lot of mothers out there, when they're breastfeeding in the middle of the night, they're on their phone. I get it. If you can't avoid that, avoid that. If not, at least put some blue light blocking glasses on, and or there is a feature on your phone. You triple click the right button on your phone. It's in your settings. You can look it up, how to switch your iPhone to red light. You can figure out how to do it from there. At least do that so you're not totally waking your system up and boosting cortisol, which makes it harder to get back into good quality sleep when you do get back. So at a minimum, watch that light exposure and have a plan for that.
Mm-hmm. And this is where, if you haven't done any meditation or breath work before you have a kid, you are setting yourself up for a much harder experience. If you can understand breath work and meditation, and you're being careful with your light exposure, when you're eating, all these different things that we talk about, yes, your baby's going to wake up, but how much faster can you get to sleep, right? If you're not exposing yourself to blue light, if you're able to get back into bed and start going through some belly breaths, because remember, parents, your child is building its central nervous system from age 1 to 5 the most. They're taking in everything you're doing, the way you breathe, the way you look, the way you react. It's not just personality, the way you talk. No, 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 no. If you're anxious and ramped up, guess what your kid's going to be? Anxious and ramped up. He's learning those patterns. He's co-regulating to whatever you're giving them. Mm-hmm. And so it's vital for you to have a preparation of being able to go, ooh, what tools can I use for myself so it's for my child? Do you agree there? I mean, I'm speaking now because I don't have a kid yet. Right,
yes. It is a jagged pill to swallow when you start really looking at it. Of like, no, I'm fine. Or like, I'm regulated, but why is my kid still having the tantrum? And again, it's going to happen. They need that to learn. But specifically for me in the early stages, that was the number one go-to for me. When I was holding them and I was like rocking them back to sleep, and there'd be times where I'd get frustrated. I'm like, go back to sleep. Why aren't you going? And he was very sensitive. Like I had to do all the steps and like be there until he's fully asleep, like minimum 30-minute process in the middle of the night, minimum. And that was the one go-to I had, was like, Emily, focus on down-regulating yourself, long, deep breaths. And know that, hey, it's going to happen, and be patient. And this has literally carried me into toddler life of like, when he's having that meltdown, Emily, breathe. Let's take the time to settle down rather than just force it and feel the rush, right? Let's calm down and be patient. And so, yeah, I would really focus on my breath, hold him close to me as best as possible, and literally imagine myself as woo-woo as it sounds. I would breathe in his heart, like literally thinking, I'm going to breathe in his pain or his hardships. And then I'm going to breathe out all of it for both of us.
So beautiful.
Sensing in him like, hey, we're safe here. And hopefully moving that into him. And just that mental part, even if it's a placebo effect, but even the breath that he feels is help regulating him too. So breath work, 100%. Even if it's not like, you don't have to be practicing breath work or meditation daily, but getting yourself familiar with, okay, how can I get myself into a down-regulated state with my breath?
Beautiful. Beautiful. And you guys, if you need help with that, let us know. We got a lot of different breath work practitioners that we know. It's vital for you to be able to control your breath. There's two things you're going to do the most through your entire life. Breathe and speak. More than anything else that you do throughout life. It's important that you both have those regulated. So, that's sleep. Two other essential things when it comes to having a kid that a lot of people struggle with is movement and nutrition. Mm-hmm. How do we regulate that? We got a kid now. We're trying to figure that. What do we do there?
Yeah. So for the father, this can be more simple, right? Usually the father's getting a little bit more sleep, if not fully, right? Perhaps he's getting up once in the middle of the night to feed the baby or twice, or being woken up when the cry comes out. Yet still, they're likely getting more sleep. So the father can likely maintain a schedule, but still be careful or pay attention to those high-intensity workouts. If you're getting that lack of sleep, we likely want to hold off on those high-intensity workouts for a little bit longer till you do get more solid sleep, right? Because cortisol on top of cortisol is going to overflow that stress cup and lead to poor health outcomes in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And for the mother, again, going back to, hey, prioritize sleep in whichever way you can, whether that be going to bed when your baby goes to bed early, even at 7:30, or sleeping in the extra half hour in the morning rather than getting up to work out. Ease into that gently until you can fully feel like you're getting more better sleep and it actually feels better to you rather than that heavy weight and lethargy. And so, again, start slow. Lower the barrier to entry, right? We don't have to get back into CrossFit 6 weeks postpartum. It's going to take a while. And so be easy on yourself with that. But again, some movement is better than none. It could be a walk. It could be 10-minute guided yoga on YouTube. It could be a 15-minute Peloton, but going really easy. For some people, it's just spinning the wheels, right? Or the pedals, however you want to call it. But something for you to move your body and eventually progress as you feel better. And for ladies, I highly recommend if you do have any pelvic floor issues, you're peeing when you stand up or you start to jump or run, if you have any issues there, it doesn't feel right, you're not sure how to brace your core or breathe while exercising, get some help, physical trainer or pelvic floor physical therapist. 100% worth the money. But at the end of the day, listen to your body and start slow.
Yes. And I can speak to the men, right? I've worked with men who have had kids. Guys, it's okay to back off. Stay with the strength training. You don't have to get a sweat, not even one time throughout the week.
Yep.
maintain the skeletal muscle mass. If you guys need help, reach out. We have a free 30-day dumbbell program. I've been doing it for 2 years. It takes me 30 minutes. I asked Emily the other day, I said, Emily, am I still jacked?
Yes. Yes, you are, Joel.
30-day dumbbell program. It doesn't take much, but I do work out 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. Right? It's 15 to 30 minutes a day. And it's focusing on strength. So for guys, with ladies, a little bit different, right? You're recovering, you know, still you can get some strength training, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. 100%. You could do bicep curl here and there, calf raises, simple stuff.
Cool. Yet the main focus is not to overdo it. Like, oh, I finally got some time. I got some sleep and I got some time. So I'm going to do a, you know, 60-minute Peloton ride. Whoa. We're still trying to downregulate.
Yep.
Your downregulate is way more important than your upregulation. Okay. So like Emily said, listen to your body, take your time, prepare yourself before you have a kid. If you haven't had a kid yet, mm-hmm. get used to. One of the big things that I just did for Emily is I got her a mat for the office. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if she's used the mat yet, yet it's there along with a torpedo mm-hmm. so that if she comes to work, she wasn't able to get a workout in, being able to have something as simple as a mat to roll out. And this is an exercise mat, so it's about an inch thick that you can roll out. It's a different feel when you have a mat compared to not having a mat. So that is like my game changer and advice for anybody. Because you can roll out a mat in your living room, and now all of a sudden it feels like a gym.
Yep.
I promise. Cool. So we covered the movement. The last thing is nutrition. How do we keep our nutrition?
So keep it simple. One, ask for help or order groceries online if need be, right? Make it easy for yourself to get proper nutrition. And then keep it simple when it comes to food prep, right? So it doesn't have to be a fancy recipe. Accept people offering to make you or bring you food. It's okay to say, hey, I would love a meal if someone's offering, yet you can have your specific modifications.
There it is.
Being like, hey, gluten-free, dairy-free, that would be amazing. Whatever it is for you guys. It's okay to ask for healthier meals. And then having those backup meals is huge. So having something in the freezer, mine is sausages or some frozen chili or soup that I've made before. I have some backup meals in there to pull out when need be. Mm-hmm. Or having that go-to healthier meal from the restaurant every once in a while, right? We're trying to avoid or minimize those poor quality oils. So we want to stay away from eating out all the time. So have those backup meals for you. And then lastly, when the baby or your baby starts eating, easiest way to keep things in alignment for your day, keep things simple, less prep for you, is to have your baby eat what you eat. I know it's easier said than done, but if you start from the get-go, you keep the refined stuff out of your house for special occasions, birthday parties, that kind of thing, it makes it so much easier. Yes, I do have some snacks like little mini beef sticks or pork grinds or perhaps one cereal in our house. I have little things here and there to help with little snacks because I don't snack as much as he does. Yet, overall, keep quality food in your house. Only food that you guys all want to eat makes meal prep much easier.
Mm. And this is something that we teach in the Proclivity Method. Plug the 12 foundational techniques that we utilize that can be done no matter if you're at home, away, you just had a kid, you're traveling, you just changed jobs. These foundational techniques that we teach, you can rep out, again, before you have a kid, while you have a kid, while you're about to have a third kid, doesn't matter. These foundational techniques will absolutely help you, and if you're interested, book a clarity call with us, guys. Emily's really smart. Me, on the other hand. Stop.
I do want to mention one thing because I have had lots of clients who their kids are older and they've already had or been introduced and have the habit of having, say, goldfish in their house or the fruit snacks or whatever it is for you guys. Yet you've made the change and now you're like, hey, I would love this change for my children too. It it can feel more challenging, yet it's still doable, right? We can slowly find alternatives. We can slowly lead by example. Number one, lead by example. Involve them in the process of the cooking, the preparation, make it fun for them. And then again, slowly start swapping things out. If it's out of the house, they don't have the option. Still have something else for them to enjoy, but don't keep it in the house. That's usually where I find the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. If it's there and they're like, no, you can't have that. Well, it's there. Why do we have it, right? So it's totally confusing to them. Not only
and for yourself. Get, just exactly. Get it out, you guys. Like, if you don't have it, you don't have it. Yep. Okay? Don't allow the temptation to be there. So we've talked about a lot of things today in terms of how to stay healthy as a parent. We talked about nutrition and movement, patience and communication. What can we leave people with? What are the top three things? All the things we've talked about are great, but what are the top three things that we can leave our listeners with?
Communicate with your, whether it be your husband, your wife, or your caretaker, so you can have 15 minutes minimum a day for yourself, whether that be for exercise or breathwork or meditation, or just for you, if you want to journal, whatever it is, but you need that time for you to recalibrate, if not twice a day, right? So either 2 15-minute minutes or 1 30 or hour session, if you can, that would be amazing, right? Mm-hmm. But start with that 15-minute minimum, whether that be, hey, can you sit with him and feed him breakfast, or can you give him this bottle while I go do my 15 minutes, morning, night, whatever you can fit in, start mm-hmm. somewhere. So that's number one, schedule and time for that. Number two, have backup meals in place in terms of, again, what's in the freezer. Do you have proteins? Do you have eggs? Do you have some easy snacking fruits and veggies like berries, bananas, apples, and things like celery, bell peppers, the easy non-prep items that you can have and prepare a very simple meal. Number three is have patience and have that flexibility. Build that into your day. Right? If we're trying to do everything we did before, it's not going to happen, and we're only going to feel rushed and stressed, and that cortisol is going to be high, and then we're going to be wondering, mm-hmm. like, why am I not losing the weight? If I get back into movement and I get back to better sleep, I'm still right. not losing it. We're too high with that cortisol, and so we need to lower the expectations of what can get done in a day and allow flexibility in your schedule.
There it is, you guys. Now you're totally equipped to be a super parent. You're welcome. You guys, if you have liked what we've talked about today, please give us a review, give us some stars, share it with the people you love. This helps us a ton be able to spread our message and our business. So we appreciate you guys tuning in today. If you have any questions about this, please reach out to us, joel@proclivity.co or emily@proclivity.co. And if you want more information about what we do, head on over to www.proclivity.co. Emily, anything else?
Oh, man, there's so many other parenting tips and tricks. If you have questions, reach out. If you have specific things going on in your life, let me know, and perhaps I can help. So, yeah, you got this.
You got this. All right, you guys, thank you once again for tuning into the Proclivity podcast. And as always,
best day ever.
Best day ever.